All right, back on the Young Turks. Brett Ehrlich joins us, everybody. Yes.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, Brett, and Cenk and Anna with you as well. Unregistered Chicano has a great point. Speaking of Game of Thrones, he says, "Welcome to the world, William Snow." I kind of feel bad saying that. It's not the kid's fault, but he could be the king of the North one day. Derpolotamus says, "Fake news. No hotties going for Manafort." Well, look, man. Look, I don't even know if Manafort had an affair. The whole thing could be made up. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But yes, powerful men, whether they're hotties or not, are get women, especially conservative women.
I want to talk about that briefly in the post game.
Okay.
Okay.
God bless.
I have a personal story to share with that.
Ooh, wait. Yeah. Now all of a sudden that sounds a lot of fun. Yeah. TYTnetwork.com/join. Okay. Jordan Veraldo says, article said Manafort betrayed his country to discredit him in any future public testimony. Yes, and it's such a poor strategy. That's not gonna work. You think some juror read the National Enquirer is not gonna talk about that, is gonna pretend to be impartial and then come back later and be like, oh my God, he betrayed his wife. I don't trust him. It's just such an old school, terrible strategy. And basically what it tells the whole country is, we did it, and Manafort knows we did it. So yeah. Now we're trying to bury him. And finally, Lucy First says, Manafort is going to roll over on everybody. Hashtag lock them up. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention in that whole drama, where I think it sounded like Roger Stone, who was a source for the National Enquirer story. Roger Stone and Paul Manafort used to be partners.
Mm-hmm.
They were lobbyists together.
Yeah, so look, another thing that I love about this story is, look, you guys all made your bed. Now you gotta lay in it, right?
Well,
you deal with the shysters, you know, you're wheeling and dealing with the shysters, you're gonna get screwed over by the shysters. And
that's right.
What I love about it, it's so good.
So Trump and all those guys surrounded themselves with bad guys who are only in it for themselves and only in it for greed. Well, then you shouldn't be surprised when, lo and behold, they're in it for themselves and don't give a damn about you. Especially when you showed no loyalty to them.
Exactly.
I believe that's called the chickens coming home to roost. Yes. All right, Brett, what do you got for us?
From chickens to the male of the species, Eric Bolling. Eric Bolling, shown here in this dashing, what a handsome man.
Wrong.
Fox News is Eric Bolling. You know him from The Five, and he has another show on Fox Networks, Fox News Networks. He is suing the reporter who outed his pee-pee pics, so to speak. Yashar Ali, a HuffPost reporter who cited 14 different sources saying that Eric Bolling sent pictures of male junk. We're not saying it was his, we're saying it was male genitals to female coworkers. The reporter tweeted, after these stories came out, tweeted this, saying, just received a summons. Eric Bolling is suing me for defamation, $50 million in damages. I stand by my reporting and will protect my sources. He continued, saying, not going to stop reporting on Eric Bolling or anyone else. I've had family members killed/jailed in Iran. A lawsuit isn't going to scare me. Bolling responded afterwards, I will continue to fight against these false smear attacks. Thank you for your continued support.
I just want to quickly go back to pictures of the peony and whether or not it belonged to Bolling. I would argue it would be worse if Bolling is sending genitalia, pictures of genitalia that belongs to other men to these women.
Did he take those pictures?
Yeah, I don't know if that makes it better. But anyway, I just wanted
to
quickly comment on that.
Wouldn't you find Eric Bolling, big guy, might not have an equally big whatever. Maybe he wants to impress these coworkers with a gentlemanly dick pic. So maybe he goes online and he searches for bigger ones and sends them and passes them off as his own. It is definitely worse. I think it would be hilarious. Also, maybe he could deny later that they were his if a Michael Jackson genitalia investigation were to take place.
God.
So we should do a poll on this. What's worse, if he sent his picture of his own penis, was embarrassed by his own penis and had to search the internet for a larger one, presumably, or if he went to a coworker or a friend and was like, can I borrow yours?
I mean, wow.
What size shoe do you wear? Oh, okay, come over here. 16?
Here's who he didn't go to, Trump. Okay, so now look. If Eric Bolling is serious and thinks that Yashar Ali made up 14 sources. Have at it, Hoss. He'll see you in court. And I, from my point of view, I mean, I'm not Ali, but I would look forward to it because then we might get to find out the 14 sources, right, and they might get to tell you a lot more details. Eric, I don't think that's going to work out for you.
Yeah, Eric's strategy here is a very bad strategy because I don't think that Ali made this story up. I don't think that he's this bad guy who just wants to smear bowling. I think he actually has evidence to back up his claims. And so if this actually does go to court, that evidence needs to be presented. And yeah, so I don't know.
So there's two reasons why bowling does it, because you might think, like, why in the world would he do such a boneheaded thing? Well, he's the guy who sent the pictures allegedly in the first place. All right, so one is a Trump move. You use threats of giant lawsuits to intimidate people.
That's right.
So now he didn't sue him yet. He's just threatening to sue him. And for example, Trump during the campaign threatened to sue the New York Times. He never actually did it. And by the way, it's the same lawyer that Trump used to threaten the New York Times with a lawsuit is the lawyer that Bowling is using to threaten Yashar Ali with a lawsuit. And by the way, they're not threatening Huffington Post that published the story. They're only threatening the writers because they think Huffington Post is a giant company and
they have some power.
They have the resources to fight back, whereas we might be able to intimidate this young reporter, right? It's such a classic scummy Trump kind of move. And so it doesn't mean that he's actually going to go through with it because you might want to try to intimidate him out of it. Oh, that didn't work. Yeah, never mind about that lawsuit.
Yeah, absolutely. That's got to be what it is. This guy, the reporter, is just, I love the response, just being like, I've seen worse. I've seen worse in my life than Eric Bowling trying to sue me for $50 million. And that's absolutely right. Going after Huff, not going after HuffPo, absolutely intimidation tactic.
Yeah, and in Yashar Ali's case, he's definitely seen worse. Because he probably saw the pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, apparently it happened several years ago, but multiple times to multiple people over a course of time.
But anyway, all this is alleged. Eric, if you really want to prove your case, have at it, Hoss. Go to court and show that it isn't your penis.
There you go. I can't wait.
But by the way, even if it isn't his penis, sending unsolicited dick pics to your colleagues is not right. You're not allowed to do it. Doesn't matter if it's his junk or someone else's junk.
No. And to be fair to Eric Bowling, he's claiming that none of this happened.
Right.
Right. That's
true. Oh, by the way, I'm actually being overly generous to Eric Bowling. He never said that. He just said he's going to clear his name and that this is outrageous.
Right.
He never said he didn't do it. I checked all of his denials. Never once did his lawyer or himself say he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. So he's been suspended pending the investigation. So is Fox getting better at this kind of stuff?
I think they have no choice but to get better on this kind of stuff, considering what happened with Roger Ailes and Bill O'Reilly. You know, so many women have spoken out about their experiences with sexual harassment and sexual assault that it has hurt the network. And so I think that they're getting a little smarter with, you know, taking care of situations like this. I mean, think about it. Bill O'Reilly was accused of sexual harassment very early on, and Fox News still not only decided to continue employing him, they fought his legal battles by providing resources. And so now, you know, you have this Eric Bowling story, and they suspend him indefinitely until the investigation is done. So, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I want to give them some credit for that.
They brought in Paul Weiss, which is a law firm, to clean things up, and they have done real investigations. They're bringing in more female executives. They're bringing in more professionals. But I want to be clear about one thing. This is to help News Corp overall as a corporation. They're trying to do a huge purchase in Great Britain, and they're having regulatory issues with that, partly because of how they're running Fox News. But it doesn't actually help Fox News. Fox News ratings have gone down since Roger Ailes both got fired and then obviously later died. But Bill O'Reilly left and all these guys have left. Their audience kind of like those dicks. And so, and they don't mind the hypocrisy. They're like, yeah, family values. And all of our guys are sexual harassers.
Bill O'Reilly, who's constantly criticizing black men for being absent fathers, is sexually assaulting people that he works with.
Or sexually harassing.
Well, okay, sexually harassing.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that, right? Let's go ahead and continue criticizing minorities because we don't like them.
Well, I mean, I can go on and on. In his divorce papers, his daughters say that they almost never saw him. He was an absentee father. Where are the fathers? Right? And so, look, all those things, they didn't, because the family values is not actually about family values. It's code word for men should rule over women. And so the sexual harassment to them is not hypocrisy. They're like, what do you mean? Men ruling over women, just like I said. So anyway, now let's go to another media story.
Okay, another media story, Jeffrey Lord and Angelo Carasone, the president of Media Matters. So Jeffrey Lord from CNN has been fired. They have parted ways. Jeffrey Lord is the token conservative voice that comes up and says Trump things and then gets yelled at by everybody. Well, apparently he went too far. Here is what he tweeted. Sieg Heil, which is a Nazi salute. The full story is Jeffrey Lord had been kind of at war with Media Matters, saying that they had been going after Sean Hannity and trying to get his sponsors to pull out their sponsorships because of Hannity's behavior. And Jeffrey Lord kind of called him out, saying that they're fascists. The quote that he said is, Media Matters are fascists and anti-free speech bigots who, in typical fascist style, make it their mission to shut down free speech they don't like. It's kind of a typical response from conservatives to kind of call anyone who wants to hold folks responsible for their behavior and actions fascists for shutting them down. And so here is the, so Jeffrey Lord wrote an article about that, wrote a column, and Angelo called him out. Here's the tweet that said, behold CNN's resident Trump advocate Jeffrey Lord, at least they aren't trying to hide anything anymore. Sieg Heil, that's the wrong tweet, but the tweet was essentially, he said that Jeffrey Lord had spelled his name wrong in the column heading, and then Jeffrey Lord said Sieg Heil, essentially calling him out for saying he's a fascist. Then the next tweet, nice try. I will be happy to mock Nazis and fascists any day. And since you lead Media Matters fascists, I understand why you hate it. So seeing the Sieg Heil, it seems that CNN has parted ways with him, saying Nazi salutes are indefensible. Jeffrey Lord is no longer with the network.
Okay, so I've got a couple of things to say. First of all,
ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yeah. They might actually be saying that at Media Matters headquarters, but A, we didn't get him. B, he got himself by tweeting that thing. That, come on, you got to know that CNN's going to be touchy about that.
Are they though? Is CNN going to be touchy about that? I mean, CNN employs all sorts of contributors that are batshit crazy, right? And they do it on purpose because they know it helps their ratings. People like the train wreck. They know other media organizations like Mediaite will cover their clips if they have insane people on a regular basis. So they specifically seek out lunatics. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, he said something really offensive on Twitter. I guess we're gonna have to fire him. Look, Jeffrey Lord is a bad person. There's no question about that. But firing him is putting a tiny little Band-Aid on a gushing wound, okay? And the gushing wound is CNN's hiring decisions. They hire lunatics. I'm not saying that they shouldn't represent or have people come on to represent, you know, conservatives or the right wing, but they specifically go for crazy people like Scottie Nell Hughes, for instance, who literally has no evidence to back up anything she ever says. And they love it. They love it. They know it's going to get covered by other media outlets because people love watching train wrecks. So I think CNN needs to really reevaluate their own hiring behavior before, you know, they take the moral ground on anything.
So I have the right tweets here. The one of the tweets that Angelo Carasone used to call out Jeffrey Lord. So the actual tweet was, hi CNN/CNNPR, care to comment on your on-air talent issuing in serious and non-ironic way Nazi victory salutes. The problem I have with it here is like, listen, I think Jeffrey Lord's an idiot, but he wasn't being serious when he used Sieg Heil, especially if he has a history of calling Carasone a fascist. It's consistent that he's using the Sieg Heil to mock Carasone for, quote, shutting him down. Even though I don't buy into that whole argument, I think it's stupid when people say, oh, the left is trying to muzzle us because they're fascists. I don't think that Carasone, I would call this a flop. If it was in basketball, it would be a flop. It would, like one of those soccer people who gets like hit barely and then they just go, oh my God, and they freak out and drop their coinage. But like, that's That's the problem here. I think Jeffrey Lord has no business being on CNN.
Agreed.
If you're going to hire someone to represent whatever he's purportedly represents, hire someone with a brain.
Thank you.
Not just like a rubber jawed fart carcass like Jeffrey Lord to just be like, and he like smiles through it. He knows he's talking BS. He knows he's just signaling what he's supposed to do, collects his check and goes home.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. And again, understand, I get what CNN wants to do, right? They're obsessed with pretending like both sides are equal in every situation, and they want to present all perspectives. But presenting the right-wing perspective doesn't mean that you have to have lunatics on your show. And that's what they do, and I think they do that on purpose. They don't want reasonable discussions.
Yeah, so first of all, let me be clear. Jeffrey Lord should not have been fired, not for this. So I agree completely with Brett. He wasn't saying Sig Heil in a positive way. He was saying Sig Heil to Media Matters, accusing them of being fascist. He wasn't saying like, oh, I like Sig Heil as a thing. He was using it as an insult against Media Matters. So to fire him based on no context, I think is wrong. And so like what you missed that he was calling them fascist, it wasn't like they're making it seem like he was proudly fascist. He might be fascist for other reasons and we can all get into name calling. But in this case, he was using it as an insult. So it, like this is what drives people crazy about the establishment media, right? So they have these nonsense rules. So I also agree with Anna, he should have never been hired in the first place. It's not to say you shouldn't have Trump advocates, but good luck trying to find a sane one that doesn't consistently throw out fabrications. But look, they have 12 other conservatives on air. It's not That's like right. they don't. He's the only conservative on air. And a lot of them are Trump advocates and some of them are Republicans who are against Trump. So they've got the whole range. So now basically this is probably CNN going, all right, we can let go of this one because we've got 12 others now, right? Mm-hmm. But look, the standard isn't don't hire conservatives. The standard is monitor what you guys are saying, your contributors are saying on air. And if they're saying things that aren't true, you have an obligation to your audience to explain that they're not true. And if you want to fire Jeffrey Lord for consistently saying things that aren't true on air, great, that makes sense. Or give him a warning about that, talk to your audience about it, have a discussion over it. And maybe you shouldn't hire a lunatic in the first place, et cetera, et cetera. And if you can't find a sane Trump advocate, that might also tell you something,
right.
Okay? But firing him over this makes no sense. It's like an arbitrary thing of, oh, you said a word that you shouldn't say, even though it's in a completely different context, don't care, third rail, you're fired. So they're wrong on every front here.
Yes.
And I can't believe they got me to defend Jeffrey Lord in any way, shape, or form.
I know, exactly. And every so often, you'll get a headline about how frustrated Anderson Cooper was with the discussion on his show, or how frustrated Don Lemon was with, you know, one of these lunatics making the comments that they typically make on his show. But where were you during the production of your own program? You signed off on it. It's not like you don't know who these people are.
But you never, I think a lot of it with the 24-hour news cycle is just laziness and who's around. Who can we rely on to be there because I got 60 minutes and I gotta fill it.
There's
and Jeffrey
so
Lord
much news.
Is like,
There's
you just
so
pick up
news.
Like old plates and like the sink in the kitchen and Jeffrey Lord's like hiding under there, like his little slug nest. And it's like, Jeffrey, are you in there? Come out and speak on Don Lemon show. He's like, all right.
Yeah, look, let's just, and bottom line is, they hired him to be toxic.
Yeah.
Because it adds to their soap opera.
Yes.
So don't pretend that you're now all of a sudden outraged that he's toxic. That's what you hired him for.
I think they also are looking around to see what people think of them. They always want to, you always hear Zucker being like, you know, we're making that show and we're doing it for ratings and we want to have that conversation. But they hear it. They watch SNL. They see the satire. They see everyone calling them out for all these things. And then this happens and they're like, I guess, I don't know. This is my chance to make it up for them.
Brett's exactly right. This is a calibration on CNN's part. They needed Jeffrey Lord to be the heel in their little soap opera early on. They now have plenty of other casts of characters. So they're taking too much heat for this particular nut job. So they were looking for a moment, yep, and they're like, good enough. Okay, you said the magic wrong words, you're gone.
But now it just looks like the Jews run the media, and as soon as you say anything, even if it's satirically sound, they fire you because there's off-limits words. I hate that.
You know, I hadn't even thought of that, Brett, and that's such a good point. Now it's gonna allow the right wing to say, you see that?
Like, I know, but the right wing, members of the right wing, we're gonna say that kind of stuff anyway. Yeah. They believe that stuff anyway. And you know, no one's behavior should be influenced by what the right wing might say about it in the future. So look, I think they should have fired him a long time ago. I agree with you guys. You know, this was a random and weird way or excuse to fire him. But again, I think that they were waiting on the right moment or what they interpret to be the right moment. And I guess this was it for them. Anyway.
Okay, let's take a quick break, guys. When we come back, the second best story of the day. I mean, look, all these stories today have been amazing. The Manafort story is has enormous ramifications. So that's number one. But the second best story is about neo-Nazis talking to each other about what they should wear. You are going to love that story to pieces when we come back. Okay, we're about to get to the best story, but I can't wait for the post game where I'm going to tell you guys how absurd I am. And I think you're going to enjoy it. TYTnetwork.com/join to hear that post game by becoming a member. Okay, Heiserberg writes in, maybe the victim should see if they can pick his junk out of a cock lineup. About Eric Bowling.
Oh my God. I would not envy anyone who would have to be
subjected to
that. Yes.
Edwin, who is our stage manager but not here today, tweeted in from home.
Nice.
To compensate for his size, Bowling takes his dick pics in panorama mode.
It's very wide.
Edwin's always funny. Mark Tosiello writes in, Anna Kasparian is right. For instance, tonight, Bill O'Reilly's on CNN.
Yeah.
They're right. Now, Jeffrey Lord, you're fired. That's unacceptable. Now let's invite Bill O'Reilly on.
The old Lewandowski scoop.
By the way, yeah, O'Reilly is launching an online show. And so are they giving him a platform to, you know, talk about his new venture? I don't know.
Yeah, of course he's going to promote it. Of course he is. So anyway, Bill, you'd like to compete online? come and see, come and see. Coffee Confessor writes in, rubber jawed fart carcass is my new favorite insult.
Take it.
Okay, Brett Ehrlich is here to serve. All right, what's next?
Okay, Extreme Makeover Nazi Edition, huh? So, this Saturday in Charlottesville, Virginia, a bunch of alt-righters are coming together for what's called Unite the Right. It is a convention of sorts. Everybody's going to have a big party. But you might be wondering, if you're going to attend, what do you wear? Well, Andrew Anglin, the editor and creator of the Daily Stormer, named after the Nazi-era tabloid Die Stürmer, or The Stormer, wrote a couple guidelines for what people should wear. Here's one, and I want reactions after each. The worst look ever is a baggy t-shirt. Wear fitted t-shirts where the sleeve goes to the middle of your bicep. It should not hang lower than the base of your member. This is sensibly all the guys is what we kind of took from that. I'll give you one more before we get reactions. Jeans, and he spelled it wrong, should also be fitted. Not tight, just fitted. In the photo, those are actually shorts. He had a photo. I would not wear pants that loose fitting. And that's another thing that grinds my gears. Uh-huh. Don't ever, besides the Jews, don't ever wear shorts. Serious men in serious situations are not wearing shorts.
Okay, so first of all, let's just note for the record how obsessed he is with how tight your clothes should be.
Yeah.
How they should be around the bicep. And they should show off your body, but not too much. Be discreet about how you show off your body.
And make sure it cuts off before your member.
Because everybody needs to see your member, okay? So don't cover it up. But remember, I don't like the Jews, the gays, or anyone else. Okay, if you say so.
I love it so much.
It's so good. And it gets even more absurd. And I'm sure we're going to get to those details. But real quickly, but when I first read the headline for this story, I thought, oh, this is actually a pretty smart tactic. Because you know, remember back in the day when the KKK looked like clowns with their white robes and everything, you know, people didn't take them seriously. And so they made a concerted effort to change their appearance,
right,
to seem more respectable. And so I thought maybe that's where he was going with this, but no, it just seems like, you know, he has this like weird arbitrary dress code about like the tightness of clothing, and he gets into weight issues later.
Yeah, the headline to which he's referring is a Vice article reporting on this saying, neo-Nazi to troll army, we have to be sexy at the big alt-right rally.
Well, that's literally quoting him. So, well, first of all, look, loathsome right-wingers that have committed terror in the past here in America are obsessed with clothing. It is an ironic part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, the Klan came up with the white robes from a movie. Mm-hmm. They thought it was cool when they saw it in Birth of a Nation. And they're like, oh, that's so neat, okay. And then they did the Ghostbusters outfit and stuff. And they went out there and they're like, oh, this is badass. Like if they saw the wrestling outfits later, they were like, that's it, right?
It was a different movie.
Yeah.
If they saw like a Lucha Libre video.
That's right, if they saw Nacho Libre.
Let's just cover our faces in awesome masks.
That's right. And so they've always been goofballs. Now, they'd had deadly consequences back in the day. And they later realized that they were playing dress up and it got awkward. And then they decided to go into suits much later on. Mm-hmm. But of course, at the time, they were terrorizing in horrific ways in those outfits. Okay, so now back to this guy who's obsessed with what parts of your body that he wants to see at this rally. He did say that you need to look, these are all quotes, appealing, sexy, hip, and dangerous.
That's exactly how I read it. Drop the shoulder. Dangerous. And maybe these kinds of hands, like, yeah, I'm gonna look so dangerous.
Yeah, because the Nazis were obsessed with looking hip.
So
although, but they did have dangerous covered.
Yeah, they were quite dangerous. Here's another quote from this post. Americans have an obsession with this baggy stuff, and it always looks bad. No matter what, it looks bad, even if everyone else is doing it. For a neo-Nazi, he sure sounds like my Jewish grandmother.
Yeah.
That's a lot of irony here.
So I wanna chime in on that. So I think in the 90s, baggy clothing was in style.
Yeah.
But things have changed in clothing quite a bit since then. Men are wearing skinny jeans. Like fitted clothing is very much in and has been for several years now. So it's interesting that he's commenting on this as if we're like all wearing JNCO jeans still.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like it's just funny.
Here's the thing you're talking about, what he says. Fat people should be allowed to join groups.
Oh, are you not merciful?
And be involved in rallies. But we need to create a culture where we aren't necessarily shaming people. But do look at them and expect them to get it together. We should help people get it together. I'm working on my biggest diet guide ever, which I think will help the overweight and skinny alike, even if they've minimal time for exercise.
Now, this is my favorite. I mean, of all the sexy, hip, dangerous things, this one takes the cake. So he's like, now look, guys, let's be fair. Let's not shame fat people. That's for Jews and blacks and gays and all those other people. You're a neo-Nazi and you're worried about shaming people? Isn't that kind of neo-Nazi 101?
It's so weird.
But he's like, no, I don't want to discriminate against fat people because a lot of us are fat. Right?
And so weird.
I know, but look, the reason why he's saying that is because he suspects, and look, I don't know what all of these guys look like, but I think he suspects that they're all like guys who are hanging out in their parents' basements, like reading 4chan or whatever.
That's the thing is he wants, yeah. I'm gonna do the last three all in a row. I won't tell you how to cut your hair, but I do believe men's hair looks better short. Thanks for your opinion, buddy. And beards look better well trimmed.
He's obsessed with men's looks.
It's so weird. It's very important to look good. We must have Chad nationalism. This is what will make guys wanna join us. Chad, I've heard that term before, being like you want to be a Chad, like a guy named Chad who's like really sexy and cool and gets chicks and intimidates like people who've never had sex. Anyways, he goes, literally, it's from something like that. That is what will make guys want to join us, and that will make girls want to be our groupies.
By the way,
guess again.
Yeah.
We simply must be cool. The importance of that really does need to be drilled into people's heads.
This is amazing. By the way, just very quick commentary about women in his post. He says, we need to keep women on the sidelines, not speaking, not leading, and with no official membership in anything. But he wants to attract women and suggests that buying a fitted shirt and getting ripped will not only score his crew political clout, but get them to be groupies.
Yeah, so weird.
Yeah.
Get women to be groupies.
Love him.
So what women love is if you tell them you're not allowed to do anything, okay, but you have to be my groupie because I'm not wearing baggy pants. It's a winning strategy. It's a great strategy. He does admit at some point in the post that he does have trouble getting girls. No, really? Wow. And these are, of course, the same guys who complain about, claim that other people are betas, right?
What is, there's this thing, someone was telling me about this. It's involuntary celibate, incel or something. It's people who get, it's a weird little subculture that once you start Googling about it, it's this weird thing about people who are involuntarily celibate. And it's women who gravitate to other guys like the Chads out there that are the problem. It's super weird. When I first read Chad Nationals, I'm like, why? I thought you wanted to be Americans, but now you want to go to Chad. Sounds like a really.
I'm pretty sure they don't mean the country in Africa. Every part of this is amusing. There's going to be apparently left-wing protesters are going to go protest them. They expect 500 of these alt-right guys to show up. First of all, if you've united the right and it's 500 people, wow.
Yeah.
Second of all, don't go protest these clowns. Mm-mm. They want to play dress up. Don't bother. It's almost giving them too much respect to bother doing a counter protest.
Exactly.
Let them go do their own neo-Nazi Halloween and have fun admiring each other's well-trimmed beards and calling each other funny names like Chad. And look at how pathetic the alt-right neo-Nazi movement has become when they're reduced to talking about, don't worry guys, I've got a diet book coming out.
Okay. Go look at their Patreon accounts, it's amazing. All the stuff they're trying to raise money for that are like, my awesome little, I just wanna do like a car show. It has nothing to do with like, you know, racial profiling or anything. It's just so strange, these little things that they're trying to brand themselves as.
Yeah, and I love that they're willing to do hatred of all these different ethnic, racial, religious groups. But the one place where they draw the line is fat shaming. They're like, we cannot have that. So everything else is fine, but that is really offensive. Curious place to draw the line. Okay, all right guys, we gotta go for the online audience. We do have more, we'll be back in a minute. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk, Brett and Anna with you guys. We've got two more really interesting stories for you guys that are fun and intriguing. Let's put it that way.
Okay. We start with a story of two popular television actresses, Leah Remini and Elizabeth Moss. They're very similar. Here they are for those of you who haven't seen them before. Leah Remini, they both got popular because of very successful television shows. Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men, Leah Remini from Saved by the Bell, for those of you who remember that arc. Also King.
Oh, she was in Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, she was. You remember that arc? Mm-hmm. She was at the beach resort they went to and she met up with Zach. And they got together and her dad ran it.
I don't remember that.
She also did a little show called King of Queens. Then
Elizabeth Moss, of course, in Handmaid's Tale now.
Yeah, so she has Handmaid's Tale. Leah Remini has a new show that's going into its second season. It's called Scientology and the Aftermath. And so surrounding that, she's doing PR for it and having discussions with a whole lot of media outlets. And the difference between these two is that while Leah Remini was in Scientology from an early age and got out, Elizabeth Moss has been in Scientology pretty much since an early age, and she is still in it. So when asked about Moss and what Leah Remini thinks of her, Remini said, there's this thing in Scientology called acceptable truth. It means you only say what's acceptable to the public, but she believes that I'm an antisocial personality because I've spoken out against Scientology. So she isn't allowed to talk to me. And knowing that, I wouldn't put her in the awkward position where the two to meet of bringing it up. Moss doesn't really talk about Scientology. She did a while ago. And since then, she's kind of said things like this. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I said what it meant to me. And anyone can go and look at it if they want to know what I feel. But now it's private, off limits. Asked about specifically what would happen if they were to meet, Remini said, I don't hold anything against Elizabeth Moss other than she's continuing to support a group that is abusive and destroying families. But that's for her to learn, just as I needed to learn it. So that's what she said. Cut to the TCA Awards, the Critics Association Awards, the Television Critics Association Awards. Ellen Thompson tweeted, Scientologist Elizabeth Moss left the room while Leah Remini accepted her TCA Award. Hope she still heard what Leah said.
I think that was kind of the point of leaving the room. No, she didn't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that the, I suspect that the leaders of the church who care deeply about their celebrity supporters and people who are in the church told her if she wins, because it's not just that it's Leah Remini who's left the church and is speaking ill of it. She's winning for a show that is exposing what Church of Scientology is doing. I'm sure they asked her to leave the room and she left. Of course, I don't know that for a fact, but it's very likely. So, look, I knew that Leah Remini was in the Church of Scientology, and I thought, what a shame, back when she was, right? Like, I like her so much, and I can't believe she believes that crap. And then she came out and stopped believing it and then exposed it. I was like, yes, I knew she was a good one. But now I'm telling you that in the context of that's not quite fair. So I like Moss too as an actress. I think she's a great actress in the series that I've watched her. And Scientology, I believe, is a cult. On the other hand, and you guys, some of you get mad at me, but I think a lot of the religions are cults. So Scientology is absurd. A guy walking on water and being born of a virgin is not absurd.
Yeah, but you eat his body. You eat his body.
Oh, you eat his body.
You drink his blood.
Yeah, you drink his blood.
You made it much better. Okay. And then a guy who goes on top of a mountain and talks to Allah, and then Allah tells him all the things that are to his advantage, including having sex with all of everybody else's wives and daughters.
Yeah.
That's not absurd. That's not a cult.
I agree with you on how religion overall is absurd, right? And what people have been led to believe is absurd. However, I think that there is a difference between, let's say, mainstream Christianity and Scientology, in that with Scientology, there is intimidation involved, there's abuse involved. These are all the allegations, right? Anybody who criticizes them is usually met with some sort of lawsuit or intimidation by the Church of Scientology. So that's one of the issues that I have, one of the main issues that I have. Now, if someone believes a particular religion because they genuinely want to believe it and it improves their lives or helps their lives in some way, that's cool. You know, there's consent there. But there's also like an intimidation campaign with the Church of Scientology that I think is creepy and should be investigated further.
Okay, so great point. And so let me just do two sides of that. On the one hand, you're absolutely right about that. The mainstream religions in the world, worldwide, have gotten so large that they're can't enforce that kind of rigor anymore. Like, if you leave the religion, there's going to be consequences. There's obviously some exceptions to that. It's generally religions that are smaller that do that. So Mormons do that, but the larger they got, and the more time has gone on, they do it a little less. They used to do it a lot back in the day. If you left, you get ostracized. All your family shuns you, and then they track you down and try to intimidate you to get back into the church. All this is still done to some extent by the Mormon church as it is done by the Church of Scientology. So you say tomato, I say tomato. And other religions used to do it when they were smaller. So now another, but what I'm trying to, the part of the reason I bring that up is not just to tell you not to believe in any of the religions, which you shouldn't. Okay, you should look into the facts and figure out if they were true. They're not. But mainly to tell you that, okay, you hold it against Moss, but she was born into it. And so it's easy to say, oh, I can't believe she's doing that. I can't believe she walked out of the speech. I can't believe she believes these crazy things. But a lot of us were also born into crazy thing, believing crazy things, and we still believe it. So most of the world believes in things that are empirically, obviously not true. But we don't blame us. We only blame Moss, because that religion is new.
I mean,
you
I'm
see
not,
what I'm saying?
I'm not blaming Moss for anything, okay? It's her life, and I do believe that the Church of Scientology will intimidate people if they're considering leaving, but I'm not blaming her for anything. She gets to do what she wants to do, and if she feels like she needs to stay in the Church of Scientology, do you, boo. But I do think it's important for people like Leah Remini, who had firsthand experience of what actually goes on behind the scenes, to come forward and share her experience. Because here's one thing that I also do know, living in Los Angeles. The Church of Scientology specifically appeals to people who are trying to break into the acting business.
Yes, they have a separate campus for their famous people.
Exactly, and so people come to Los Angeles looking to make it big, and they're in a very vulnerable place because it's a difficult industry to break into. And so you have these people preying on them, and you know that worries me. And so it's important for people who have firsthand knowledge of what really goes on to really spread the word so people don't get sucked in.
For me, it's the irony.
Can I just say that all I'm doing is spreading the word about all the religions because they all have different ways to suck you in. So in Shia Islam, they tell you, oh no, no sex outside of marriage. Unless you get a special permission from a mullah and you can get married for an hour to that woman over there for 100 whatever it is your currency is, right? Mm-hmm. Or by the way, you can get married to her for 2 hours or maybe a week if you like that. And that's all okay. And that's to lure them into becoming Muslims? That's your interpretation of being moral, right? So there's a lot of different scams.
Yeah.
Yeah, you look into it.
It's the Dinars Club.
Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce that currency, but it's like Diners Club, the credit card. The thing is, what's hilarious is with the irony of the fact that Elizabeth Moss, Scientologist, is in a show where this crazy cult takes over the government and she has to struggle with the oppressive regime that ensues.
I know, but
that's the thing that I don't care. If she's got a religion, whatever, do your religion. Don't hate on anybody or entrap them or shame members of your family who leave. Don't get caught up in that. And if you notice people getting caught up in that, speak out, get out of it, because that seems super unhealthy. But like, it's just hilarious to me that like what I have found from reading the book Scientology cover to cover, watching all the documentaries. I haven't seen Leah Remini's show, but I've seen interviews where she talks about it. It seems very similar to The Handmaid's Tale in terms of all the internal pressures that come about. No guns and anything, but
I agree with you, but humans are amazing. They can compartmentalize, you know, parts of their lives. They can rationalize things that have, you know, no rationality behind them. Like we're amazing, right? We play all sorts of mind tricks on ourselves, so.
Crazy.
No, I'm not making an excuse for her, but it's just the reality of the situation.
Yeah, and I don't want you to get me wrong. I think it's great that Leah Remini is speaking out against what Church of Scientology is doing. By all means, expose that scam.
You should read this book, Scientology. It is amazing. It reads like a self-help book. And it starts with like, hey. And that's what a lot of self-help books do. They're like, would you agree that the grass is green? And the sky is blue. And then there's different levels of people around you. There's you, and then there's your family, and then there's your family friends. And then you're just like, yeah, you're describing human interaction. And then they're like, okay, here's how to prioritize. And then it's just like kind of good advice for interacting with people. And then it's like, okay, so bear with me. This distant planet, or wherever the hell they're going, you're just like, oh my God, it takes. And then a lot of it is we're keeping a secret that you'll find out and it's gonna blow your mind. Most of it is pay to play clickbait.
That's right, that's right.
Yeah.
And tithing. And so that's why I compare it to the other religions. So Church of Scientology is much more vigilant about how they must tithe there. And that's how they've built up a gigantic fortune and can go and threaten everybody and have all these army of lawyers, etc. But the Mormons also required 10% tithing. And by the way, the Christians and the Muslims required tithing until it got out of hand and they couldn't enforce it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Forest bathing.
Yes.
You should forest bathe. What is forest bathing? It's getting naked and getting rubbed down by people dressed as Forrest Gump. No, it's not. Forest bathing. That would be awesome. Forest bathing is going out into nature and immersing yourself in all its wonder as if you're seeing it for the first time. Don't know what I'm saying? Take a look at this video from CNN.
One hand on your belly, the other hand on your heart. So forest bathing comes from the word Shinrin Yoku, which is a Japanese word. Now reach your arms up. And it means being in nature. In Japan, they have special medical forests where people can go be out in nature. You're coming into the forest with a conscious intention to slow down, to connect, to heal. It's all about moving slow, a lot slower than you expect. What do you think? Like peppery? Mm-hmm. And about engaging all your senses.
In our hospital, we actually prescribe nature. Studies have shown that within minutes of walking into a forest, your stress improves. Heart rate will come down, blood pressure will come down. then over the course of an hour to an hour and a half, if you're walking through a natural setting, symptoms of depression or anxiety improve.
There it is.
I love this. I love
this. Why do you love it so much?
I love it so much because it's so true. It's true. Okay, look.
You're so pure-hearted.
No, I know, but here's the thing. I know you guys, some of you, Cenk included, probably, watch that video and you see these crunchy granola hippies like rubbing up on trees and it seems so ridiculous, right?
Yes.
But it's so true. Okay, look, I'm only speaking from personal experience. There is nothing more therapeutic than being in nature and finally like taking in the beauty of this planet that we live on, right? You're not looking at your phone, you're not sucked into some Netflix show. You're like, I don't know, you just feel connected to the world and it's an amazing feeling. And so I'm really happy to see that people are using this method to help treat their depression because I think it's one of the most therapeutic things. I mean, I used it as a therapeutic method when I was going through depression.
Oh, you do forest bathing.
And here's the thing, I didn't refer to it as forest bathing.
Why
but you
not?
Know,
it's
I went
an
to,
amazing term.
I went to Joshua Tree and, you know, Joshua Tree National Park in California, and it was amazing. Recently, I went to Big Sur and Carmel. Beautiful. And it's just, it's the best thing that you can do.
Okay. Now let me keep it real.
Okay. Worse.
I love
it. From the beginning. I just
love it. All right.
Yeah, I'm a big, strong man.
Okay.
No, I don't like nature.
Okay.
Or, I like
please. I don't feel that a forest bather would prejudge me like that. Okay. So let me tell you what I think. All right. So first of all, I of course thought that when I first read the title, that they were going out in the forest and be like, okay, and like, like finding a pond. I was like, I'm not going to do that. That's ridiculous. That's we call them showers, and when they're inside our house.
But have you ever bathed in like just like an open shower
it's
out
like
in nature?
It's like a pool and a pond. Pond would be good for you. The natural springs.
Oh, have I so gone nice. Into a natural body of water? Yes.
Yeah. And yes, then afterwards, you have to take a shower.
Yes, that's
yeah, you
right.
You do. Yes.
Pond water.
So one of these folks, Rosani, says that who founded the Center for Nature and Health says that they offer medical care in nature. No, thank you. I would like my medical care in a hospital. Mm. Okay, so hold on. So I'm not buying that. And then one more here. They say that as part of this, that you should. They're in nature. They're observant. God bless. Good. Okay. And they said you should even silently ask the tree a question to see what thoughts it might spark. I'm not asking any trees any questions. That's just not going to happen. I'm not going to be like, now next on TYT interviews, a tree. Okay.
No, I know. But here's the thing. First of all, I mean, I can totally see someone on some sort of psychedelic substance.
And if you want to go to San Francisco in a park.
Yeah, but look, I don't think that's representative of what most of these
what most of the forest bathing community does. I agree with you.
I don't even think the forest bathing community refers to itself as the forest bathing community. People go out to nature to unplug and improve their like mental health.
They call themselves the Forest Bathing Club of San Francisco, actually.
Yeah, so they actually literally do. And then a guy named Lazarus who felt rejuvenated by this, appropriately so, said that when he did talk to the tree talked back and said, "We got your back."
You're the worst. You're the worst because you're like cherry picking people that you want to judge.
Which you shouldn't do because it hurts the tree.
All right, so now my real opinion. So those are all my real opinion too, and I'm amused by the extremists in the forest bathing community. But overall, and they've got a goofy name, but overall, should you go enjoy nature? Of course you should. And so like I find this story to be both hilarious and obvious at the same time. So we now spend 93% of our time indoors.
Yes.
Did we spend the overwhelming majority of our time as a species outdoors? Of course we did. Mm. We were born outdoors, we lived outdoors only in the last millennium, did we even have shelter in the last couple of centuries when we created these giant cities where we all live indoors most of the time? Should you go out and look at trees and walk around in nature? Of course you should. Is that going to make you feel better generally? Yeah, it's in our DNA. I'm sure it'll make you feel better. It makes me feel better.
Okay, so
we spend indoors, caves. We're cavemen.
No, caves. But the caves were exaggerated. There wasn't that many caves around.
News of my cave dwelling is greatly exaggerated.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit about vitamins because it's important. Okay.
Yes, that's right. So
there's a big issue with Americans lacking vitamin D.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of Americans are vitamin D deficient. And so every year I go in for my physical, they do the blood test, everything's great except vitamin D. You're vitamin D deficient. Please take the supplements. But why do you think we're vitamin D deficient? Because we're constantly in the office. So, like, is it summer? Is it winter? Is it fall? Who cares? We're not going to know because we're in an office all day.
I talked to a doctor who said that it's because you put too much sunscreen on.
Really?
I live in Manhattan Beach, California, and she's like, everyone here is Manhattan Beach. Everyone here is vitamin D deficient. I said, why? Everyone's outside all the time. She's like, yeah, it's the sunscreen.
Yeah, see, that's I have it.
But you're right, 93% inside, yes. But it's interesting because it's that I think is an interesting discussion over like sunscreen or melanoma.
Yeah.
And vitamin D or skin cancer.
I mean, and
so there's
a
balance.
You can take supplements for vitamin D. Obviously, protect your skin. But look, the heart of the story is spend some time in nature. Because it goes further than your mental health. It gives you this appreciation for this planet that I don't think you'll have if you don't spend time in our national parks and you know places like that.
Well, look, I'm gonna go way further.
Yeah.
Hold, you're gonna see I'm the original forest baby.
Oh, okay. Do you, boo?
So first of all, I'm like a grandma. I'm obsessed with scenery.
Uh-huh. Love it.
You know, I will drive hours out of my way to see a beach or woods, anything that looks great, right? Mm-hmm. And is part of nature, and I'll bask in it. You know, some of these folks are like, oh my god, in 10 years I hadn't looked at the trees. I go outside and on a weekend I will walk around my neighborhood and I will literally pause in like an awkward kind of weird way for like a couple of minutes and enjoy how the sun is shining off the tree.
Yeah, trees are amazing.
Was that old school? You're like, I'm the best at enjoying stuff.
And yeah,
that's one of the things.
That's right, that's right. We talked about it in a previous episode of Old School. You should check that out. Become a member at tytnetwork.com/join. Anyway, and I once hugged a tree.
Oh my God.
I was in a jovial mood. I was much younger. Yeah. And back then I was a Republican.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't even in my liberal days or progressive days.
To be fair, a lot of Republicans do appreciate nature. I wish they would want to protect it, but they want
to. And sometimes they do. They did some conservation and fought back against the Trump administration wanting to privatize public lands. And they kicked Jason Chaffetz's ass and partly chased him out of Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So you conservatives who did that, bless your hearts, right? So, and I remember I was in a particularly jovial mood in Freehold, and it was a lovely day.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, this is super ridiculous and silly, but I'm gonna hug this tree. Okay.
No,
and I was kind of like winking at myself, right? But yeah, so guys, you should, to the best of your abilities, and we all have crazy schedules, and you got kids, you got work, and I understand all that. But if you can, try to get out there and walk around for 15 minutes. It's great.
You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it.
San Francisco, where this happens, there is an area called the Presidio, which has like been undeveloped since the Spanish owned, you know, California. And it is a change completely. Like the air changes, the smells change.
Yeah.
Just as you cross from the street the Presidio is on into the Presidio, it's like a definite like, I don't know, it's like an airlock. You just kind of walk through it and it's a completely different feeling and it helps.
You know what, that's funny you say that. Maybe we'll talk more about this in the postgame, but I was in the Presidio recently, about maybe a month ago, and I had to do a whole bunch of business calls. I was at a conference and I was like, who needs to be inside? I stepped outside and I just kept walking around and it was gorgeous and it was a great day outside.
Forest bather.
It's a good compromise because there's also like the Walt Disney Family Museum right there. It's just this beautiful area. It's where LucasArts love
it. Yeah, look, I was the original forest bather before they put a really ridiculous name on it.
You were lathering up day and night.
Yeah, I'd go in the forest. I was like, oh, here's some leaves. Oh yeah, get a branch in there. Anyway, yes, go enjoy nature. Duh. Anyway, postgame coming up where we will talk about I promised that earlier in the show that we would go back to the topic of how I am a great enjoyer of life.
Awesome.
Okay, and then
I'm going to quickly talk about my experience with men who are powerful and usually get women thrown at them as a result.
Ooh, mm-hmm. And aggressive progressive later tonight. Remember, at 9 o'clock Eastern, you can watch the first segment for free, and then the whole show for the members. So tytnetwork.com/join to become a member.
Bye bye.